Today we're going to start, or actually we're just going to spend today going through the book of Joshua a little bit, and the title of the sermon today is Joshua, A Recipe for Victory. So Joshua is actually one of my favorite books in the Bible. I wish that they would make a movie out of this one, because it would be the best action movie ever. It's all about the conquest of land, the promised land, and it's one battle after another, and it's about, you know, when they don't follow God in it, they have defeat, and when they do follow God, they have victory. And so it's an amazing story of a nation following God. Let's go ahead and pray before we open up God's word. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. I thank you for this wonderful church. And I pray, Lord, that you continue to work in us and continue to work in our community. And please keep our hearts and our minds open to what you have to teach us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're going to look at three battles today. First, we're going to look at the conquest of Jericho. Then we're going to look at the defeat at Ai. And then we're going to look at the conquest of Ai. So we have a victory, we have a loss, and then we have a victory again. And they can each teach us something. So first this morning, we have to understand that faith is the key to victory. So like that song, faith is the victory. We see this at the conquest of Jericho. That battle is all about faith. God completely did it for them. I mean, there's really, they didn't do that much there. They just did what God told them to do. I'm sure we've all heard this story in Sunday school. It's one of the popular ones that they teach in Sunday school on repeat. You know, they went and marched around the city until the walls fell down, right? And the walls came tumbling down. So God did that for them. The first thing I want us to notice about this Battle of Jericho is that this plan was God's plan. This was the Lord's plan. And so if you want to open up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5, and we're going to read starting at verse 13. So we have to, the battle actually, you know, the whole battle for Jericho starts in chapter 6, but we have to back up a little bit to understand a little bit what's happening beforehand. And so starting at chapter 5, verse 13, and we're going to read to chapter 6, verse 2. It says, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, Are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, No, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped, and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant?" That's the attitude that we should have with God. For any conversation that we have with God really should be, God, what do you want to say to me? What does my Lord say to his servant, right? We don't talk back to God. So anyway, that was just a little bit of a side note there. That one was for free. and then it says in verse 15, "Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so." Now it's interesting, starting in chapter 6, if we move on just a little bit, it says, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." So they were terrified of the children of Israel. They knew they were coming. And then it says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor." So I think it's interesting in chapter 5, right at the end, the one that appears before him with the sword drawn says, "I am a commander of the army of the Lord." And then when it cuts to him talking, it says, "And the Lord said, I have given you I've given Jericho into your hand." It's interesting. So first you have a man that says he's the commander of the army of the Lord, and then when he starts to speak, it says the Lord spoke. That's Jesus in the Old Testament. And you notice here, Jesus is there with his sword drawn. He is there as the conqueror. Now, I find it interesting. Can you imagine what was going through Joshua's mind when he first saw this man? Joshua is the general of the armies of Israel. He's the leader there. And somehow this man has gotten into his camp with his sword drawn. And so Joshua rightfully says, you know, are you for us or are you an adversary? Are you for our adversaries? He's like, I don't know how you got here, but are you for us or against us? And then as soon as this man reveals himself to be the commander of the armies of the Lord, he falls on his face and worships. Now, any time that it's just a regular angel and someone starts to worship a regular angel, the angel will say, no, don't do it. Worship God. That doesn't happen here. So that's further evidence that this is Jesus talking to Joshua here. And it says that this is why I say it was God's plan, because it says then the Lord says, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." So I don't know about you, but if I was Joshua in this situation, I'd be like, "We haven't conquered the city yet. But here's the Lord telling him, no, I've given you this city. Well, you can't see it yet, but I've given it to you. It's already done." Joshua's got to have faith here because God's already given it to him, even though he can't see it. Even though Jericho has these giant walls and they were known for their big walls, they hadn't been conquered before. But God said, no, this is yours already. I've given it to you. So this is God's plan. I also want us to notice, moving on a little bit, that God's plans are not like our plans. Okay? God's plans are not like our plans. God has a completely different perspective on things. He has completely different abilities. He has all power. So his plans aren't like ours. Joshua chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. It says, so this is God's plan, right, that he's giving to Joshua. It says, "You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of rams, horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times." You notice how many times he's saying seven, 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 seven? It says, "And the priests shall blow the trumpets, and it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all of the people will shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Excuse me. So God first tells them to go around the city once for 6 days, okay? What's six in the Bible? The number six in the Bible, that's the number of man, okay? That's the imperfect number. But notice here after this, it says seven priests, seven trumpets, seventh day, seven times. That seven is the number of perfection in the Bible. That's God's number. So this is the ultimate God's plan here. He says, what you do is imperfect, but I am going to give you this victory here. So notice, you know, God comes to Joshua and he has this really awesome plan. And he says, okay, what you're going to do, Joshua, is you're going to build a horse, a big wooden horse, and you're going to sneak it, you're going to put a bunch of your men in it, and you're going to sneak it into the city, and then you're going to take the city from the inside. Is that what God said to Joshua? No. That's another, you know, big wall story, but that is what happens with the schemes of man. You know, men come up with these really interesting little tactics, and they hid in a horse and got behind these big walls and took it from the inside. What does God tell Joshua to do? He says, you're going to take your troops and you're going to march around the city for 7 days straight. And on the seventh day, you're going to do it more times. And then the walls are just going to fall over. That's God's plan right there. It's a huge... He's telling them to march around the city. That's something that men would never even think of. And God's just saying, I'm going to make the walls crumble before you. That's what God is doing here. God is doing things in a way that nobody in the world would see that this was Joshua or this was the children of Israel's plan. This is a miraculous event that is showing God's power. Joshua had to have faith here because that's a pretty outlandish plan. He's like, God, I don't know what you're doing there, but I trust you, Lord. Because remember, God said, I have given you this city. It's already theirs. Also notice, moving on, that God's plans were given to Joshua and not the people. Joshua was to relay this message to them. This is why leaders are important. Is with God's people. You see, people don't always know the full extent of the plan. The leaders don't always know the full extent of the plan, but God gave this message to Joshua here. Let's go ahead and start reading in Joshua chapter 6, and we're just going to read 6 and 7 for the moment. It says, then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city. Let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord. So who's giving this message to the people? Joshua is. Who gave the message to Joshua? The Lord. Also notice in verse 10 that they did not know the whole plan. The people did not know the whole plan. It says, now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day, he doesn't tell them what day, it says, the day that I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. So he said, you're just going to go do this, and you're going to stay quiet until I tell you to shout. He didn't tell them, okay, on the seventh day, we're going to march around it seven times and then you're going to shout at that time. No, the people had to have faith there, just like Joshua had to have faith in following the instructions of the Lord. Faith in God was what brought them victory here at the Battle of Jericho. Joshua chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. It says, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and women, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. So they did almost exactly, we'll find out, what God told them to do. They had faith in carrying out those orders, and God brought them victory there. God brought them such an amazing victory. You know, time after time after time again, God is showing signs to the children of Israel, and like we always read soon after that, the children of Israel forget about the amazing things that God did. It's always baffled me that how just, you know, you could flip a couple pages later and here the children of Israel are looking at the things that God did and completely disregarding it. They did not have to do really anything to take that city. They just marched around it and then they watched and yelled at the walls, and the walls crumbled. It literally made them flat. This is an amazing victory here. But we'll read on when it comes to Ai that they had already lost that. They didn't trust God completely there. When we move on, we learn that sin brings us defeat. And we see this at the defeat at Ai. The unfaithfulness of the children of Israel angered the Lord. You see, God gave them some instructions of what not to do when they went into the city. First of all the silver and gold, all the precious metals, that was supposed to go into the treasury for the Lord. And then they were supposed to not take anything that was under the ban. They were supposed to just destroy all of it. So that God didn't want them affected by the things of Jericho. But we find out in chapter 7 that the children of Israel didn't listen. It says in chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things." And then it says, it talks about a specific person here. It says, "For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things," so he kept some of the stuff for himself, "so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel." So this man stole from God. We'll find out later what he took. It was some of that gold and silver. It was some of the precious metals that he took and he hid for himself. He literally stole from God. God brought them an amazing victory, but someone was selfish and kept for themselves and did what God told them not to do. So this had an effect on the children of Israel. This caused some things to happen. First, sin deafened them to God and caused them to seek worldly wisdom. We'll read this in verses 2 through 4 in chapter 7. It says, "Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, 'Go up and spy out the country.' So the men went up and spied out Ai, and then they returned to Joshua and said to him," now who's Joshua listening to here? It says, "Do not let all of the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." And so about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. So what happened here? So Joshua listens to God. God brings them an amazing victory at Jericho. And then sin creeps in. And now who's Joshua listening to? He's listening to his spies and advisors. He doesn't ask God for advice anymore. He said, "Well, we had this awesome victory. Now I'm going to go and do this." And he's not listening to God. That's what sin does to us. Sin deafens us to God. It's very hard to follow God when you are also following the things of the world. So sin causes us to seek out worldly wisdom. It's very easy to continue to sin once you start sinning. It's a hard thing to then repent from that. But sin didn't just deafen them to God. You know, this is a progression here. So they deafened them to God, then they sought worldly wisdom, and then sin brought them defeat. That's what sin does to us. It brings us defeat. Joshua chapter 7, verses 5 to 6. I'll continue on here. It says, "And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men." So remember how many men that they had. They have like 3,000 men, right? And the men of Ai struck down 36. Okay? That's not very many compared to 3,000. It says, "For they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent For therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. So they're mourning over this. But they got into this battle. They were trying to do it of themselves. And 36 men get killed out of their 3,000, and they flee. It drove them off. So their sin led to their defeat at Ai because they were no longer listening to God. This also caused something else to happen, this defeat. So this sin brought them their defeat, and it also caused them some more heartache as a result of this. You see, the spiral starts to spiral downward faster and faster. Sin broke their will to follow the Lord. That's what sin does to us as well. It damages our relationship with God. And I don't know if you've ever felt like this before, but you're like, it's like, oh, well, I might as well keep doing it now. I'm already that bad, right? That's what happens when someone is in sin. It becomes very easy just to keep going because you're like, well, what's the point? Sin a lot of times leads to depression in people. This is what happens with Joshua here. Joshua chapter 7, verses 7 and 9. It says, and this is Joshua speaking to God here. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us?" Well, he's saying to God, why did you bring us here now? They have one loss that they weren't listening to God, and now Joshua is blaming God for that loss. And he says, why do we even come over here in the first place? Remember I said how quickly they forgot about the victory at Jericho? So Joshua's complaining now because he didn't listen to God. He leaves that part conveniently out, that he didn't listen. And then he complains to God about the loss. It says, "Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan." So life was so good over there. Why are we over here now trying to do this? See how easily that their will was broken by sin? "Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" So God, this is what Joshua's saying. He says, "So God, why did you do all this, just to have us destroyed?" And he goes, "It's not just us that are going to look bad. It's you that's going to look bad, God. Because, we lost a battle in which we weren't listening to you. We tried to do it on our own." It's pretty interesting. If you read on it, I'm going to skip over this a little bit, but I'll paraphrase here. God says to Joshua, one of the first things, "Why have you fallen on your face?" God's like, "It was your fault." He needed to be aware of that. But ultimately, sin brought death. Sin brought death. And we read this over and over and over again throughout the Bible, just like it says in the book of Romans, "For the wages of sin is death." Sin brings death. See, because of their sin, they would be unable to stand against their enemies. We see this in Joshua chapter 7, verse 11 and 12. God literally says this to Joshua here. It says, "Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they have become doomed to destruction. This is what sin does to us. It dooms us to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore. So God's saying, you continue and say, I'm not going to be with you. Yeah, he says, neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. That's the only way to get rid of it. You have to repent. You have to get rid of the sin in order to keep following God. So they had to get rid of it. Joshua chapter 7, verse 15. It says, then it shall be that he who is taken with, that he who is taken with the accursed things or thing that shall be burned with fire. Sounds a little bit like hell to me. But this is a literal fire right here on this earth that was going to happen. He and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. And then we read on in verses 25 to 26 in chapter 7. It says, and Joshua said, so this is once he finds Achan, you know, that he talks to him. He says, why have you troubled us? Why have you brought this upon all of us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. You see, they had to get rid of it. They had to put it behind them. They literally had, the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, had to kill its sin, right? They had to get rid of it. And only then, so they had to completely turn from their evil ways and start following God, and only then would God turn from his fierceness of his anger and work with them again. See, this act was Israel repenting of their sin. This was them turning back towards God. It was their choice to turn back towards God. This leads us to our next point, that repentance brings us back to victory. So faith is the key to victory. Sin brings us defeat. But repentance brings us back to victory. It brings us back into a right relationship with God. Whether you're if you're saved and you need to repent and come back to God, that brings you back in right relationship with him. If you haven't been saved yet, you need to repent and get in relationship with God because of Adam's original sin. Repentance brings us to victory. We see this when God again is given the reins, given control over the army again, and we see this at the conquest of Ai. So that when they tried to do it themselves, they suffered a defeat at Ai, but then God is now given full control again. They've turned back to God, and they conquer Ai. Repentance brought back a relationship with God. I want you to notice during that whole time of the defeat, there was no dialogue between Joshua and God at all. Not until after they had been defeated. But now that they are back in right relationship, in Joshua 8:1, it says that now the Lord said to Joshua, see, they were speaking again. It's all good. This is basically what this verse is. It's all good. This is God comforting Joshua here with actually very similar words to when Joshua first took command. He said, God says to Joshua, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Remember those words from when God is giving Joshua this courage to take command? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for I will be with you as I was with Moses, right? And then God gives him instructions again. He says, take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai, see that I have given you, that I've given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. Now God's got it again. He's like, I've got you. Now I'm giving this city to you. You couldn't do it on your own. You had to do it with me. That's what God's saying to Joshua. He says, when you work with God, you don't have to worry about those things. Let God do the planning. Repentance fixed things between Israel and God. Joshua 8, verse 2. I really love this verse because it actually gives it a comparison back to Jericho. It says in verse 2, and you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves, lay an ambush for the city behind it. And so in that first part of that verse, it says, and you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. So God's working with them just like he did before. They're back in right relationship. You know, there's that saying, you know what justified means, right? Just as if I never sinned. That's what's happening here. God is working with them just like he did before. They went against God, but they repented, and now it's all good. It's all good. God was giving them the plans again. He was back in control. See, when we sin, we are stealing control from God. We are literally saying we know better than God. When we do things that are against him, they're saying, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do my own thing. So we're stealing control from God when we sin. And we will fail as a result of that. And this happens. This is not a if we do this. This is a when we do this. Okay? Everybody sins. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is a fact of life that we will sin. And we will fail. But when we repent, we are putting God back in charge. And that leads us to victory. See, the children of Israel now were doing as God commanded them to do again. And guess what? God gave them victory. Joshua chapter 8, verse 18. It says, then the Lord said to Joshua, this is as they're conquering Ai, right? It says, then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai. For I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand towards the city. All Joshua had to do there was stretch out a spear. And God's like, yeah, I'm going to give it to you. And then if you read on, it talks about how Joshua didn't let down that spear until the city was taken. He made sure to follow the instructions that time. And the children of Israel, you read, they made sure to follow the instructions. They followed the instructions to a T in this conquest. They learned their lesson, right? It's pretty amazing comparison. So you have this awesome story of faith with Jericho, and then you have the lack of faith at the defeat of Ai because of what they did. And then they repent and they now are going to conquer. And the funny thing about this battle too is the way that they lost at the Battle of Ai, right, was they fled from the enemy, right? In their sin, they fled from the enemy. And it's funny because God worked with them in that similar way. He basically used their plan that they messed up and then changed it just a bit and said, no, that's how you're going to, I'm going to take the way that you failed and I'm going to make that the way that you win. Because the way that they win, God tells them, okay, so you're going to go up and you're going to set up an ambush for the people of Ai. And so you're going to have the bulk of your army over here, and you're going to march up, and then you're going to flee for them just like you did before. And they're all going to come out of the city. And then all of your troops, the rest of your troops, are going to go into the city, slaughter everyone, burn it, while they're all outside of the city. And so God literally used the way that they failed in order to give them victory when they were following God. You see, God uses the imperfections that we have as people. And then when we turn that and we repent and we are working for God, God, a lot of times, will turn those into our strengths. God works with us that way. It's really amazing. Things that we are weak on, God will make us strong. So here's the point today. What does this all have to do with us? Well, in my final point, as the pianist and song leader come, look to Jesus for your victory. You see, without Jesus, we can do nothing. All we have is failure. With Jesus, there is nothing we can't do. So this message today is for both people that aren't saved and are saved. If you're not saved, you need to look to Jesus, because that sin, that brings you death, right? That brought them death. It brings us death. It's like in Romans, it says, for the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus gives us victory because of what he did on the cross. He fought the battle for us already. In Revelation, it says that he holds the keys of death. So we have to look to him for our victory, especially if we're not saved. Because you know what that victory is? That's an eternity in heaven with him. You know what, where defeat leads us? To hell. That's the ultimate price there, is going to hell if you don't know Jesus. It's not just a loss at a battle on this earth. Our war is for eternity. So it's important. So look to him today. Ask him into your heart as your Lord and Savior, because he did it for you already. Just like what he's saying to them, he's given it to us. All we have to do is accept it. So look to Jesus today. Repent and turn to him.